I do appreciate that Home Affairs is the great equalizer in South African society. Whether you live in Constantia, or whether you live in Langa, whether you live in Retreat, or whether you live in Camps Bay, whether you live in Heitewacht, or whether you live in Fairways, eventually you will have to queue in a Home Affairs line. Get your particulars done. And it is the great equalizer of South African society. It is a department that has improved its quality of service immensely over the last few years. The digitizing of important information over the last two decades has, of course, taken time, and its services have vastly improved. We cannot take that away from the Department of Home Affairs. Then comes a global pandemic, which then just disrupts a system where people essentially are queuing in close quarters, where people have to sit in line with ticket numbers in order to be served at a counter. And we can understand what impact COVID-19 has had on the level of service that is needed when it comes to a Department of Home Affairs. Services have slowly been coming back online, but not without hiccups. What spurred this conversation is many people calling us and letting us know that they're trying to apply for passports and ID books online, but because of a new system, a new website, they're having difficulty. So we thought we'd answer your question. Joining me now is Sam Plaikis. He's the Cape Metro Coordinator for Western Cape Home Affairs, as well as Craig Steenberg, Moulton Office Manager at the Department of Home Affairs. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Review. How are you doing?
Good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. We're doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
Look, I know that you all guys always avail yourself when we ask, and the listeners and we greatly appreciate it. But Sam, let me start with you quickly. We're out of the third wave of coronavirus, largely. Yes. Western Cape still has daily decreasing numbers. But what's been the impact so far on the Western Cape numbers, on the level of services that are being provided, particularly in person?
Yeah, Lisa, thank you for that question. I actually wanted to press that one in because that is an important part of our services now.
Craig and Sam, I can somehow hear that you guys are either with a radio or sitting in the same room, because you guys, if you guys can just separate yourselves, I apologize if I'm...
No, I'm asking you to step off quickly. Thank you for that.
Okay. So what's been the level of service over the last few months, Sam?
Okay. So Lester, we've been on level 3 for quite some time with reduced services, but recently with the president's pronouncement, we moved to level 2. And can I quickly run through the services that we are entering at the moment? Okay, right. What we're doing currently is registrations of birth. That will include your later registrations of birth and also the application and issuance of birth, marriage, and death certificates. Mm. Then we have registrations of deaths, the issuance of temporary identity certificates, application and collection of ID smart card and green ID books, passport applications and collections of passports, registrations of marriages, retention and renunciation of citizenship, South African citizenship, and then rectification and amendment of personal particulars. So that is the services. But just on that, obviously the volume of clients coming to our offices will increase. So it will be very important for listeners to be aware that social distancing will still be required, wearing your mask, keeping your 1.5 meter distance, and then also we can't allow everybody inside our premises, you know, as a collective. We need to be mindful that the capacity of offices will determine how many people will allow at any given point inside our offices.
So still very much impacted by the effects of lockdown COVID regulations, but I want to get straight into the listeners' questions. And Libby was the first to call in, and thanks so much for your patience, Libby. Sam and Craig are listening.
Thanks, Lester. I appreciate it. When I applied for my daughter's passport online, it was a very smooth process, and it worked really well. So I do have confidence in the system. But I've applied for my son's passport, and I'm being hit with a problem because we first applied in 2017 online, and we collected it in the branch. Now his passport's going to expire at the time of travel, so I would like to reapply online. But it's still got that original application registered. So I can't update the application to today's date, and I can't apply for a new application because it says that there's an application existing. I have emailed the email addresses that they ask us to email, and I've sat on the line with the Home Affairs call center number for, collectively about 5 hours. So I don't know how to delete that existing application where the passport was issued and collected and apply for a new application.
Okay. Craig, I'll have you take a stab at this. Libby is listening.
Hi, good morning, Lester. Thanks for having me. I'm listening to Libby's question or issue that she's got. What I would suggest is if she can forward her son's details to myself, and then I can investigate it and then just try and maybe have that application that was done in 2017 have it closed. You see, because the online system will now detect that there's an open application, man.
I see.
Thank
okay. Okay, we will collect your email addresses and we'll pass it on to whoever needs them. Michelle in Tukai, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Lester. Fine, thanks. So I must admit, this is not a query about an individual application, but rather just raising a concern around a policy, if I may. I have tried to get a response for the last 18 months without a satisfactory response, so I'm just desperately trying to raise my voice. Just to explain our story, my husband was made aware of his ex-wife changing his daughter's second name. Just by surprise, he got an invoice with the new name. And, she was able to do that without his consent. It made me think of Minister Motsoaledi on Kino Cummins' show about 18 months ago. I think it was December 2019. He was talking about the new rules where both parents have to consent to children traveling. And he was saying that often this is used, with parents in divorce, parents in huge conflict, they can use the child and do things, on their own to hurt the other parent and also the child. And I thought this is really the same principle. I know to change a child's surname, you need both parents' consent, but I think it's a loophole and a gap that you can change a child's first or second name with just one parent's consent. I'm also a social worker, so I'm very concerned that it doesn't protect the rights of the child. And our child has for the moment lost, her heritage from her dad's side. It's a family name that's been in the family for four generations.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm just wondering if, who can I turn to raise this issue or... Yeah, that's my question.
Michelle, thanks so much. Sam, that is a very broad and high-level policy decision. But maybe could you wait in on that?
Lisa, I think to start with, they're trying to give me a details back after the show that we can look into the amendment that was done and then just determine, what exactly was changed. So you mentioned the name was changed, but perhaps we can look at the back-end process in terms of... who was party to the application when the amendment was requested. But I think we can take this offline so that we can deal with it after the fact.
Let's go to Janine in Komiki. Remember, we are speaking to Home Affairs officials. It's very difficult to answer very targeted questions of which you may have a reference number to, or it happened a couple of months ago. Craig Steenberg and Sam Glykes have very graciously agreed to talk to us. I know it's very difficult to get your personal circumstances sorted out right here on air, but they will try their best. Janine Nkomeke, how are you doing?
Hello, thank you for having me on the line. I am a South African citizen, but my daughter has an Australian passport, lives in Malawi. Mm. She was in this country in December 19 and January 20 to have a medical procedure. And just before she was due to return to Malawi, she became very ill, and the doctor advised her not to travel and gave her a certificate to say why she'd missed the return date to go to back to Malawi. When she was back, she was banned from re-entering South Africa for a year. Mm. In January 21, she thought the ban would be lifted and tried to come here, but at the airport she was told that she had to have a letter from Home Affairs to say that the ban had been lifted. She has tried every email address that she can to get hold of Home Affairs. I have tried stopping with
Okay, Janine, we have plenty of people still on the line. Sam, do you want to take a stab at that?
Let me just weigh in on this one. This is a committee issue, right? And it's not really in the context of the discussion. But, you know, we will be gladly be willing to give the contact details of our colleagues in Pretoria that will be able to deal with it. I think this is also something that we can take offline. Thank you.
Here is something that I think would be a bit more general. I know that people have very, very important personal circumstances. But there's a question that asks, how does an asylum seeker who has the paperwork, Section 22, if I'm not mistaken, get refugee status in South Africa? What is the procedure, Craig?
Lester, I would throw that one to Sam. Mm-hmm. He's more.
Go ahead, Sam.
Let me weigh in on this one. This is also an immigration-related matter, right? Mm. So I would recommend that we rather consult the necessary section and division within our head office to deal with this particular issue. So we can also take this one offline so that we can perhaps come back to the client with a contact number which can be phoned, if needs be.
What is happening with Zimbabwean passports and work permits? We were told that it's only approved till the 26th of October 2021. Please answer this question, ask AJ.
Let's also same with this particular issue. It's also, an immigration-related issue, and our main purpose is dealing with civic service-related matters. Mm. So I don't want to weigh in on something that, might be incorrect, so I'll just pause it for now so that we can come back to you on this at a later stage. Mm.
Is it Ilana in Weinberg? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Question for your guest. I've got an employee who applied for his first application for an ID card. He's from Zimbabwe. He's got all his papers and everything. That's all been sent up to Pretoria. And this was on the 19th of November 2020. And every time we phoned or emailed, they say, no, it's stuck in the marital department. He's got a wife. Okay. And so what do we do? I mean, he wants to buy a house. He can't get a bond. a lot of things he can't do. Who can he actually get hold of? Because the guy that was dealing with me with the email, he gave me a lot of numbers. None of them actually answer their phone. None of them.
Thanks, Ilana. Sam?
Lester, on this particular issue, just to correct the caller, the person did not apply for an ID smart card, but I believe for an ID book. Because permanent resident holders, which I believe the person is maybe, or a naturalized citizen, is not able to apply at this point or eligible to apply for an ID smart card. So this is most probably an ID book application that was applied for. But I'll be gladly willing to take the details of the client after our conversation, and then to see what is happening at the back end and how we can further facilitate this application. application process.
Here's a question here, and I've seen a few of these regarding divorces. Hi, Lester. My fiance and I planned our wedding on the 20th of August. So I got my divorce docs, and she got hers. When I went to Home Affairs, I was told that she was still married on the system, but I was divorced already about 5 years. So we had to put off the marriage. Also, then ask him then to load my divorce on the system. My question is, how long will it take for the system to be updated? And there's another question with regarding to divorce and marital status. How do I update my marital status after the divorce? Sam, I don't know if you or Craig would like to take that.
Yes. No, let me come in here. So, what happens normally is that it's an automatic process. The documentation is referred to it, but sometimes it's not updated as it's supposed to be done. So if we have a case of a client that got divorced a few years ago, but the divorce status don't read, they can visit their closest or nearest home office office. We will then refer this application or the divorce order to our Pretoria head office, and then they will update the records there. Time-wise, it can take up to 2 weeks, give or take, to have it updated. And this is the process that we will follow at the local offices. Thank you, Lester.
Taking your calls, 021-446-0567. Mike, about applying for a smart ID. How are you?
Yes, hi, Lester. Thanks for taking my call. I'm hoping your guest is able to help us. Mm-hmm. We've had a major problem last year. We applied online, and the Home Affairs said, well, the system is in lockdown, and the site went down. And then his application was frozen. So we kept trying to apply, and kept being frozen, and we couldn't get any further with mm-hmm. it. So then he's in matric now. So this year in July, my wife and him went into Home Affairs in Wynberg, personally right into there, and explained the position. Home Affairs in Wynberg tried to log on, and they couldn't. And they said he's blocked for some reason. And then so they then said they'll sort it out, set it up to some higher person or other, but nothing happened. We then contacted various people, and we were given various names and people from Home Affairs. We contacted, and we've had absolutely nothing. And, I mean, he has to have a smart ID to write his matric, mm-hmm. and he's writing in 3 weeks' time. So I'm hoping your guest is able to help us unblock him.
Thanks so much, Mike. Let's address Mike's question, then ask a more general question. Is there anything in place to prioritize, particularly matriculants who need ID books to write the exams? Sam?
Yeah, let me work in on this. In terms of matriculants, right, and scholars as a rule, when they queue with a uniform in front of our offices, we will prioritize them because now, you know, they have to go back to school, and we will then assist them as quickly as possible. In terms of Mike's question, in terms of the application that is blocked or something that went wrong, I would rather recommend that we look in it a little bit deeply because it's not your normal case, and we might have to facilitate it with our department's head office. So I would want to suggest that after the conversation, we get the details from Mike and the child's ID number and see how we can best facilitate this process.
Yeah. Lester, my daughter is 18 years old, and she would like to change her surname after my divorce with her dad. Does she need consent from both parents? I would say no, because she's already a legal being at 18 years old, Craig.
Yeah, that is correct, Lester. She does not need the consent of the parents because, like you are saying, that she is 18 years old already. So she does not need the consent of the parents. She must just write the motivation as to what her application as to when, why, what's the reason for her wanting to change her surname.
Do you need a reason? Do you need a reason to change your surname?
Unfortunately, the department can't just change surnames from Victor, I can understand. So, yeah, that is just basically a motivation as to why she needs to change the surname or wants to change the surname. That can be done at any other Home Affairs office, but not at the bank branch.
That
can't be done online.
Is there a a list of desirable names and undesirable names somewhere in Home Affairs policies. If I wanted to change my name to Lester Blikop, would I be prevented from doing so, sir?
Yeah, look, Lester, your surname, and I will speak specifically about the surname. Your surname is your identity, right? And you know, with Heritage Day tomorrow, it's your heritage, basically. So you cannot just change a surname without giving the department the proper reason and evidence that there's somebody that with the same surname, which is a family relative of you, which surname you want to assume.
Okay.
So it's not, you cannot just say, I want to be known as Pikompis. There needs to be a lineage of that surname and somebody that is linked to that surname, which is a blood relative of yourself. And that is the context of this.
Gosh. Look, there are people with more important questions waiting on the line, but this is something that I probably want to pick up in future about a legal right to be called whatever I want to be called. But we'll save that for another day. Trevor in Colk Bay, good morning.
Very good morning to you. A quick question. My daughter is living in America, South African passport, which is about to expire. Does she merely just apply for a renewal passport online? In which case I collect it somewhere in Cape Town, and how long does the process take?
Very good question. I'll tag something onto that, Craig and Sam, is that if I said that Home Affairs is the great equalizer. Everyone has to stand in the queue at some point in their lives as a South African or someone who uses the services of the Department of Home Affairs. But we're seeing a lot of people going into business of where I will stand in the queue for you. What is allowed and what is not allowed?
Yeah, let's say, this is a very important question, and I think at the heart of many issues that we have, right? Now, a person applying for a passport needs to present him or herself for the biometrics to be captured. Now, in this case of the caller, the daughter is an American, right? She's not living in South Africa. So she cannot use the online platform to apply online for this. So she physically needs to go to the South African embassy and then make an application through them. This is a manual process, right? So they support to be completed and everything. And that is the process with a person living abroad. They need to consult with our South African missions.
So it would be that it could get delivered to a South African mission, in fact.
Yeah, look, what happens is that person apply abroad at a South African embassy, and that application form obviously gets posted to our head office, who will then process the application, and then after they are having the complete product, they will forward the passport back to the South African mission, South African embassy, and the client then will collect it at that office per se.
Steve in Solaris Pass, how are you doing?
Hi, man, fine.
Craig and Sam is listening.
Yes, we are. There are many of us who have applied for a permanent residence visa. I have to be retired applying for a permanent visa residence, and they seem to have been not replied to now for about 6 years. And the visa agents tell us that apparently they haven't had any replies for permanent visas for about 6 years. Is there a policy not to deal with them anymore?
Thanks so much, Sam.
Yeah, Lester, in terms of this inquiry, once again, this is not in the context of our discussion. It's more immigration related, right? So we will then provide the contact details to the client, to the listener, so that they can consult with our head office directly.
Yeah. Terry in Durbanville will be our final caller this morning. How are you doing, Terry?
No, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, well, not actually. I'm actually in Cravo at the moment, and I'm outside the Internal Affairs Office here, Home Affairs, I should say, to get my passport renewed.
Oh, Terry, you were the inspiration for this show because you had an issue with the online application.
Yeah, that's right. No, what's his name? Craig answered me eventually after a couple of days and sent me an email to say, well, I wasn't born in South Africa. It's tough luck. You have to be born here to get an online application. So we come to Cabo. Now, the problem is here, there's no organization here whatsoever. Some people in the queue doing passport to some people. But my wife and I, my brother and I, are in our 70s. There's no queue for elderly, nothing. The woman said, just go in a queue like everybody else. And, that kind of attitude is ridiculous. I mean, and then you phone up Home Affairs. I phoned up 5 Home Affairs different departments over the last week, every single day. And guess what? No one ever answered the phone. She said, finally, I got someone in Malmesbury who told me, if you don't like to stand in the queue, don't come to Malmesbury.
Terry in Durbanville, thank you so much. Sam, I know that there are some home affairs offices that work really well. My parents use Maynard Mall. They say that they get treated very well as people of pensionable age there. I know Terry, of course, has a very bad experience currently at Herbo. How do we standardize the level of service that everyone who stands in a home affairs queue receives the same level of good service as some people may experience in Maynardville as they would then expect to experience it in Malmesbury?
Yeah. Let me first apologize to Terry, and after finishing this conversation with you, I will contact the Herbo office and find out what is the situation is at the moment. But, you know, just to make the point that, you know, when we get to elderly people and disabled people, you know, we will prioritize them to assisting because, you know, it's very difficult and uncomfortable for them to wait and stand for long hours in a queue. So after this conversation, I'll definitely get to the heart of the situation. If you can, please provide me the contact number of Terry after our conversation. So that I can consult with him and just find out if they were assisted after the fact.
Craig and Sam, you're always helpful and you help in the way in which you can, and doing it live on air with people's most specific of issues. I really appreciate that you at least make an effort. But Craig Steenberg, Sam Plaikis, representing Home Affairs here in the Western Cape, thank you so much for joining us.